The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning, everyone. Children love Christmas. They love the lights, the decorations, the cookies, the movies and cartoons, the music, but most especially children love the presents. A typical child has a hard time falling asleep on Christmas Eve because of the anticipation of receiving so many gifts under the tree. I even heard the story of a child who snuck into his parents' bedroom and changed the time on the clock fast forward several hours so that he could get downstairs and open the presents sooner. As adults, we don't always seem to have the same Christmas spirit. We often think that Christmas is more for the children. Rather than thinking about what you might be getting for Christmas, we might be questioning ourselves, did I give everything I was supposed to get for the children, grandchildren, and everybody else? It's still a few hours until Christmas. Perhaps the question we should be asking ourselves is, what do I want to ask God for this Christmas? What do I really need? What is it that I need to be a better father, a better mother, or a better Christian in this coming new year? In a reading from Isaiah, King Ahaz is being given a gift from the prophet Isaiah to ask God for any sign that he would like. Ahaz is afraid, so Isaiah gives him one. "The virgin shall give birth, and they shall name him Emmanuel." Ahaz would never have dreamed to ask for a sign like this. How could anyone presume to ask God to leave heaven and to become a man, suffer, and to live among us? To become a baby, completely dependent on Mary and Joseph for everything. Anything Ahaz could have asked for would have paled in comparison to what God was prepared to offer. I do not presume to know what God has planned for each of you this Christmas. All of us play a unique part of his plan. But I do know that whatever we could ask God for Christmas pales in comparison to what God already gives us at each and every Mass. That is, he gives himself to us completely. Do we see this in the Eucharist? Every one of us has our own fears, dreams, and desires. As we prepare to celebrate the great feast of the Incarnation, let us lay our fears at the feet of our Father, who desires to give us what we would never ask for. God has a plan for the Blessed Virgin Mary, we heard in the Gospel, a gift he intended to give for her, but she had to accept it and to say yes to what God was asking and offering. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux has a famous homily about the gospel reading we just heard, and it's read in the Office of Readings every year by priests on the 20th of December. And I wanted to give you an excerpt from Saint Bernard of Clairvaux's homily on the Annunciation. And so this is what he said. You have heard, O Virgin, that you will conceive and bear a son. You have heard that it will not be by man, but by the Holy Spirit. The angel awaits an answer. It is time for him to return to God who sent him. We too are waiting, O Lady, for your word of compassion. The sentence of condemnation weighs heavily upon us. The price of our salvation is offered to you. We shall be set free at once if you consent. In the eternal word of God, we all came to be, and behold, we die. In your brief response, we are to be remade in order to be recalled to life. Tearful Adam with his sorrowing family begs this of you, O loving Virgin, in their exile from paradise. Abraham begs it, David begs it. All the other holy patriarchs, your ancestors, ask it of you as they dwell in the country of the shadow of death. This is what the whole earth waits for, prostrate at your feet. It is right in doing so, for on your word depends comfort for the wretched, ransom for the captive, freedom for the condemned, indeed salvation for all the sons of Adam, the whole of your race. Answer quickly, O Virgin. Reply in haste to the angel, or rather through the angel to the Lord. Answer with a word. Receive the word of God. Speak your own word. Conceive the divine word. Breathe a passing word, embrace the eternal word. She responds, Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. And so what about us? Will we answer the Lord with the same generosity and faith, even if we ourselves do not understand the wisdom of what God is asking of us?